Well, good morning. I'm Matt Walters, the pastor of the Faith Bible Baptist Church right here in Greeley, coming to you once again this Sunday. And probably the question on the top of your mind is, as you've begun to watch our state open very slowly, you're probably beginning to wonder, when are churches going to follow that procedure as well? And if you've watched our governor the week before, and I think he's supposed to address the state once again this week, and I pre-record this for the radio. I don't think he's going to address that, just to be honest. We want church to be safe. We're going to be in touch with the Department of Health. But I do know this, it will be sooner than later. Let me take it a step further, and I can say this for our church. We're going to be putting together a safe church video. And once again, you can go to our website, just go to the internet, type in Faith Bible Baptist of Greeley, and that'll take you to our website. And I don't think I've mentioned this, I failed to mention it, our church has a Facebook account as well. And you do the same thing, go to Facebook, type in Faith Bible Baptist of Greeley, and when that time gets closer, we'll announce it through those two forums. And we will post that video. Now, that video, what it will entail is we're going to go through our church, let you see our auditorium, let you see our staging area, let you see our fellowship hall, how we'll come in, because we want you to be comfortable with returning to church. I think I can safely say this. If churches abide, as we're going to try to do by the guidelines, I think they're going to be safer than probably the essential businesses that we've seen open during this quarantine time. And if you've been out to the markets, if you've been out to some of the lumber stores, as I have, I've been a little bit taken back by what I've seen. And so we're going to try to make this as comfortable, keep it as distanced and yet as inviting as we possibly can. Real quick, too, before I get into this morning's study, our ladies have made masks. And so if you're wanting to come to church in a mask, but you don't have one, they will be free of charge to anyone that would need that to feel comfortable. Want to remind you, people have asked, will everyone be in a mask? No, not necessarily. We do have some that have talked about getting a little claustrophobic. And so that's where we'll put together the video, let you see the auditorium, our seating options, and what we have available. So stay tuned through that, through Facebook and our website. Now, what I want to do this morning is I want to get into the book of Colossians chapter 3. And our study by far and large outside of Easter, it has centered around 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the life of the Apostle Paul. And when we started this time on the radio, I told you that one of the reasons I wanted to do this is to give you an insight, kind of a little bit of flavor to what our church services are like. To me, my type of teaching and preaching. And I know that some of you may be listening, you've went through a bad experience, or maybe you've went through no experience at all, but you kind of hesitate, just not knowing what to expect. And so hopefully these past several weeks have given you an insight to what my teaching and preaching is like. Now, what I want to do today is get in Colossians chapter 3, and for the next few weeks, I'm going to start a new study, really new to the sense of radio, but this is what I've been giving to my church during quarantine. And so if you go to YouTube or our website, you can find the pre-recorded messages that we've kept from day one of quarantining, and that was sometime in March, all the way up through even this Sunday. We've got additional messages for our church. And so I think this will be a blessing, because this study is going to address the topic of feeling disconnected from God. And so this morning, before we get started, this is really for those of you who are saved, you're on your way to heaven, but maybe deep down inside, you would say something like this today: preacher, I've just, for some time, maybe even prior to being quarantined, I have felt disconnected from God. Maybe to the point that really you can't even get up enough energy to read your Bible, maybe even to going to church. And You know, another way to say this is I don't feel close to God like I used to. Now, I'm going to help you out here. I like to be transparent in my preaching, and people have commented on that to the positive from time to time. But folks, there have been times in my life that I just begin to look around, and in all honesty, I realize I've become disconnected from God at some point. In fact, in my home office, I have a little plaque, and it used to be my mother's. And in my early 20s, my mother had that in her home, and I told her, if you ever get rid of that plaque, give it to me. And she just ended up giving it to me, and now I'm almost 50, and so all these years later. But the plaque says this, if you don't feel close to God, and then it asked this question, guess who moved? And when I seen that at my mother's house years ago, I thought, I like that. Because the problem is not with God, dear friend. It is not. We know Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know in the book of James, the Bible encourages us to draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. And so even that teaches us that if we feel distance from God, all we need to do is take a step in the right direction. And that's one of those passages that is a twofold promise, meaning the way back is never as far as we may think it is initially. And so I love that passage in James chapter 4. And so this does require for you to be honest. And I like John chapter 17. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And that has many good applications. So this morning, I'm talking to those of you who are saved. You're on your way to heaven. You know that if you died, heaven would be your home. But in all honesty, you would say something like this, preacher, it's not that I don't feel anything, but I just don't feel what I used to feel. Like going to church is a challenge, maybe reading my Bible, just being the Christian that I know I need to be, and really having that warm love that I used to have for serving God. Then I would say the message is for you this morning. Now let me begin to read in Colossians chapter 3. And if you have your Bibles, your tablet, your phone, there's just so many ways to read the Word of God anymore. I want to begin in verse 1, and I'll read down to verse number 4. The Bible says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Then verse number 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, I think if you've been following my teaching, excuse me, one thing that I like to do is I like to do word studies. I also like illustrations because I believe that doing that, studying the Bible that way, can bring the Bible to life and help us to understand it in a greater way. And so I want to look at three things today, and we'll do a word study here in just a moment. I want to look at first the regard, things that we're to pay attention to regard as I've put it down. And then I want to look at the reminder in verse 3. And then I want to look at the return. And this morning, for those of you who are saved, I think you're going to enjoy that particular point, and I'll take that out of verse number 4. So let's look at the regard, and I take that out of verse number 2. And let me just read that verse for you once again. Paul said, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, our word study is going to be taken from this verse today. So the first word I'm going to pull out is the word set. And that's not a difficult word. In fact, in the Greek and in the English, and sometimes the meaning can differ a little, so you always want to cross-reference those, it pretty much takes the same idea as we use it today. It means to pick something up and then to place it down. But if we were to take that and push that word and that definition a little bit further, we could say it like this. It means not only to pick something up, but to pick it up with intention and then to place it or put it down with intention as well. Now, folks, that becomes vital to this study because the word intention becomes important there. And I say it that way because nobody ever becomes a more connected Christian, nor does anyone get closer to God or mature in their Christian life by accident. You see, one of the things the devil is good at is we'll hear a message like this and we'll agree with it. And in our mind, we know that things need to change and that we need to get closer to God. But folks, that's really as far as it ever gets. Now, I can't help but wonder that heaven right now is filled with Christians that had good motives, good desires. One day I'm going to, and I know that I need to, and they just never did. And so one of the challenges that I would put forth, and I like preaching that challenges me. I like it to put me on the spot. Otherwise, I don't know why I listen to a message. And so if you're wondering what's Faith Bible Baptist all about, well, there's times we do preach directly, and it may be messages on sin and getting right with God, or like Paul is saying here, set your affection on things above. But it's got to be done with intention, meaning there's got to be action or nothing will take place at all. And so this comes with that idea. Now, we could illustrate it like this, and we'll have some fun with it. Many of you, if not all of you, have probably had children in your home. Might be parents, might be a brother or sister, and you had to watch a younger brother or sister, aunt, uncle. But there have been times with children that you've probably looked to them, and you've said something like this, please pick the toys up. Now, when we say that, what we're telling our children is, with intention, you take them, pick them up, and then you set them in the toy box. It might be right before they were going to bed, and you went in and toys were everywhere. And in your mind, like mine, I thought, we need the toys picked up so that if I have to come in the middle of the night to check on you, I don't find one of those toys with my feet and thereby my Christianity becomes tested. And I say that smiling right now because probably many a parent has stepped barefooted on a toy and our Christianity truly gets put to the test in moments like that. Now, what is unusual, and I think once again all of us can relate, is there's probably been times where you've told your children that, and at least the first time you said it patiently, and I'm smiling when I say that. The first time it came out smooth, we were calm, we said it in English, they heard it in English, we've told them to do it before, they knew exactly what we meant when we told them to do that. But let's be honest, there have been times, and I can look back on my boys, and my kids are all but grown at this point, so I look back with memory, where I've went back 15, 20, 30 minutes later, and you know what? Those toys were exactly in the same place when I went back as the moment I told them to set them in the toy box. Now, this brings up another very good thought, because if you're wondering what went wrong, was there a disconnect in the hearing? Do their ears need to be cleaned out? And sometimes we say that as parents, kind of off the cuff. No, it comes down to the word motive, meaning simply this, their desire to play with the toys superseded their desire to listen to you, even though you were their parent. Now, folks, we can take all of that and put it to verse number 2, because Paul said, set your affection. And then he didn't leave us wondering, even with the word affection, because that word means the seat of our emotion. Set our deepest love, Paul said, on things above. And that just is another way of saying what we need to do is with intention, with motive, to take and to place something on heavenly things. And that something is our heart on the things of God. And that is the first thing Paul lays out. Now, I know here's the challenge, because some people say, well, preacher, I just can't get motivated. It's not that I'm disagreeing, and I do believe that this is probably within Christianity their greatest problem. In fact, it's my greatest problem and challenge, is making sure that my love and my affection stays first and foremost on God. He has the priority. He has that number one seat of my emotion at all times. And so as a preacher and within Christianity, Folks, I believe that really this sums it up, doesn't it? That our problems, the reason we're disconnected, is something has taken the place of God. And sometimes it's things that are innocent, maybe naively. It's not that we meant to. It's not that with intention we wanted worldly things to become of greater importance than the things of God. But just now, as time has went on, we're looking back of realizing, man, I don't love God like I used to, and it's not as warm, it's not as affectionate, you know, as it used to be. And where I was going with that is there have been times I've had people tell me, preacher, I can't get motivated. You know, it's like that child. I'm hearing it, I know what you're saying, but in all honesty, to take in the effort and to pick it up and to place it on things of God. And sometimes people say, what do I do when I get to a point like that? Well, my advice is always you begin to get into the Word of God. You double your Bible reading. Folks, I'll be doing a study in the near future on the Bible and the benefits it has. You know, it's my experience. People are happier if they read the Bible more. People are more confident during pandemics, and they're more comfortable. And I'm not talking about being foolish when people are sick, but they're just more confident in who their God is when they know their God. And they've been reading their Bible. And then I tell people, you begin to beg God faithfully to renew that motivation within your heart and life. And so when Paul says, set your affection on things above, we hear it. We know what needs to be done. There is no question. This is probably the number one problem within Christianity, and we know what steps need to be taken. Now, let me also address this, and this is not in my notes, but I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit gave it to me at this time. There are times that I've told people that, and I've noticed somewhat an expression of fear coming over them, because I believe that the idea becomes this. You mean you're telling me to put God first, spend more time in Bible and praying? And the idea is this, if I give God all of this time, well, what's left for me? I mean, is there going to be any me time? Will I be happy? You know, will God consume and just take everything? I mean, if I'm going to take and set with intention and give it to God. And folks, I'm going to be quick to remind you, from the Old to the New Testament, no one ever gives something to God but that He doesn't richly bless them in not one but many areas of their life. And wasn't it Jesus who said that? He said, I'm not come that you just have regular joy, but that you might have abundant joy. And so, folks, I would say that anytime we fail to do this, not only do we feel disconnected, but let's be honest, and I've said it like this to my church members, the most miserable person in the world today, it's not the lost person without Jesus Christ. It is the Christian running from God, not doing what they know they need to do. And so when I say the regard, point number one, Paul said it clearly out of verse 2, set your affection on things above. Now, he gives us a reminder in verse number 3. Let me read it for you. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, Paul is using what we call metaphoric language, meaning he's not talking about the day you die. He's talking about living, but spiritually dying to some things. And so when we read other passages that kind of correlate with this, Romans 12, 1 and 2, and some of my all-time favorite verses, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Paul was saying, in a little bit different wording, but much the same thing. Paul was saying that living, while we're alive, spiritually, we are to present our lives to God as a living sacrifice, not dead. Now, to the Jew, that struck a chord with them, because in their Judaistic society, it was all about animal sacrifice. And to the Jew, they knew that when an animal was sacrificed, it was on that altar permanently. It couldn't talk back. It had no will of its own. It couldn't get off that altar if it so decided to. And so when Paul said it that way, that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, for us today that maybe we're not connecting with what that would have meant in the Jewish society, that is what Paul is saying. Just as that animal was placed up there permanently, and it could not talk back, fight back, it had no will of its own to get down. Folks, that is the idea. This is the reminder that Paul is giving to you and I. And sometimes we don't like hearing it that way, but folks, we need to be reminded of this because our life has been bought with a price, and that price was the life of Jesus Christ. And so when Paul said that ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God, that takes that type of meaning. Now, there's another way that we could illustrate this. And because people that are disconnected, they're saying, I'm struggling, you know, with just, you know, doing the things of God. I can't get motivated to go to church, read my Bible. Well, let's think literally about a dead person, because we can draw some applications from that as well. In fact, I'll illustrate it this way. And as a pastor, I've had to do far more often than I would like the funerals of people who were addicted to certain things. And so I'll just pull one area out, alcoholism. Over the years, I've done more than I would like to have done the funeral of a person who died as an addict to alcohol. Now, think about this. As they're in the casket, if I could take alcohol and have it set on the casket and then ask the question, well, is that alcohol going to bother them any longer? Will it tempt them anymore? Because we all know they're in the grave, they're in the casket because they drank themselves to death, okay? No other way to say it. And maybe you've been to a funeral like that. I've been to several. Well, I think the answer is, will the alcohol bother them? No. You're going to say, preacher, they're dead. Well, if I took it and put it beside them, because I had a man tell me one time, he said, I have a problem when I smell alcohol. And he was trying to come out of alcoholism. And he said, I can't even go to a restaurant, but that I smell it. And I want it once again. I like the smell. He said, I like the flavor. Well, if I put that closer to them to where the aroma could get to their nose, would it affect them? Would it tempt them? Well, obviously, the answer is no once again. And so we could take that and draw parallel to our spiritual life, because sometimes we wonder, why do certain things just, I mean, they seem to hound me, certain sins, and then it's those sins that steal the joy, you know, really hamper. And I don't want to use the word steal the joy, because I believe joy is something that we give up, but they work on us, against us, adversely. Well, folks, we've not learned to die to self. And so when Paul said, ye are dead, and because we're trying to get an image in our mind, at least I do, I read the Bible, I want to pick the words out, I want to get an image of what does this look like for me, I want to begin to die spiritually to some things. And there may be some sacrifices that I have to make to help me get beyond certain things in my life. I tell guys that get into pornography, and even my wife and I counseling women at times, maybe you need to get rid of a computer, die to that area of your life. It might be a smartphone. It may be for the alcoholic, no longer going to restaurants. And that's hard, isn't it? Because almost every restaurant serves alcohol. But there are some great sacrifices that need made for you to be able to get on, to get connected with God again, to feel close to God in your spiritual life. But then let's talk about this third thing. And I told you that we would end here. We said first was the regard. We set our affection on things above. Then there's the reminder, ye are dead. Our life is no longer our own. It belongs to Christ. And once again, if I give my life completely to God and die to some things, make some sacrifices to get closer, will I ever be happy again? Oh, friend, you don't know what you're missing out on. You will be the happiest and the most joyful that you've ever been in your Christian life. But then there's this last thought. It's the return taken out of verse number 4. Let me read it. Paul says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, I don't know when you read your Bible, if you read it in the context of Did the Bible just state a fact? Did it ask a question? Because when the Bible asks a question or makes a statement, we need to ask or follow up, what is it? What's it saying? What question is it asking? Or what statement is it stating? Well, think about it again. When Christ, well, that's easy, Jesus, who is our life, He is everything, He's given us eternal life, shall appear. Now, if you're sitting there in your seat thinking, well, preacher, that sounds like it's talking about when Christ comes back for us, I would have to interject and say that is exactly what the Bible is saying. And so if you've been a little bit down, a little bit discouraged during this time, let me just remind you of a good thing. Christ is coming back. And Paul is talking about it here. And I've had people say, well, do the events of today, do they get your attention as a pastor? Sure, they absolutely get our attention. And I don't know if I've mentioned in other studies, I know I've taught my church that we believe that there's going to be a shift of financial, even military power over to the European nations. 10 of them will come together. And for years, and I've grown up in church, and I think in the 80s, they thought it would be some kind of war, nuclear war. But we're beginning to look at this. Our country can't keep just writing checks without ultimately maybe dooming its future. And so I look at this and I get excited in that sense because, and I've said it before, sometimes for things to get better, they've got to get worse. And that is a prophetic teaching. And so I'm going to end the study today by reminding you, Christ is coming back. Now, are you ready to meet Him? For the Christian, do you feel connected to God like you need to, like you used to? We sing the old song, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Can you say that that is true of your life today? Do you feel as close to God as you used to? Don't toss the towel in. I think emotionally people often, well, this is just what the Christian life is supposed to be like, I guess. No, friend, it can be better every day. And there's been moments, I told you, I felt disconnected. What do I do? Well, I go back to that plaque my mother gave me. If you don't feel close to God, guess who moved? I can't blame God. He's made everything for me to take steps back. He's given me promises, draw nigh to Him and He'll draw nigh to me. The ball literally is in my court. But then let's do as we always do. What about those, and maybe you're listening and you say, preacher, I really don't know if I'm saved and on my way to heaven. You know, there's good news. The Bible says that Jesus is not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. And I always am quick to tell people the most important thing, John 3:16, remember, God loves you. Jesus, God's Son, died for you 2,000 years ago, and He took your place. And at some point by faith, reaching out, if maybe in today, and sometimes people say, boy, I feel something in my chest. What is that? Well, that may be the Holy Spirit convicting you, telling you that preacher is true. Jesus was God's Son. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And folks, it's that simple. Sometimes people muddy the water. They add things to it. They want to add works. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. And as I do on any given Sunday, you can right now ask Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior. And if you pray that prayer, asking Christ, telling God, hey, I believe Jesus was your Son, and I want you to be my Savior. I know that you died on that cross for my sin. Call our church and let us know so that we can rejoice with you, or email us. Our church number, once again, as we end today, 970-353-7635. Keep in mind, we're going to be posting on when we'll be reopening through our website or our Facebook. Our church has a Facebook account. We look forward to seeing you sooner than later. Lord bless.